Please open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. I'm going to begin reading with verse 18 and continue reading through verse 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. You know, I did my 4th of July sermon this morning, but I had a lot more I wanted to say, so I'm going to kind of continue it tonight. You know, today America is 245 years old. When I was a child, I was figuring in my head, how old would I be when we became 200? And the answer to that was 19, or 18. Then I wondered how old I would be when the year 2000 rolled around. Well, I figured that one out too. I was 42. You know, landmark times have a way of coming back to our memory. Every year we bring to memory the blessings that we have to live where we live in our nation. And you know, even though America is relatively with a short history, God has blessed us in so many ways, far greater than other countries in this world. Far beyond the dreams of other men in other countries, we have been blessed. One nation has been built upon the dreams of many people coming from all over the world to this world to make their dreams come true. I know for a fact that my family, the Hamner family, were among the first settlers to come to America in the 1600s. Many of my ancestors fought in the Revolutionary War. In fact, one of my ancestors actually signed Virginia's version of the Declaration of Independence. His name was Edward Hamler. They spelled it A-M-L-E-R. That's how it was pronounced and spelled at that time. You can find the document on the internet. You can see his name. My mother's family came from Germany in 1883. They camped out on the deck of a ship because there was no room inside. They had one horse, one cart, filled with their belongings, and when they departed the ship in New York, they worked their way to North Alabama, where other relatives were waiting on them. And you know, I know every family has similar stories that they could tell about how they came to this country. And we are all here tonight because people like the Hamners from Wales, Europe, and people like the Adamiances from Germany came here with dreams of having a better life in a better world. You know, one French philosopher once said, America is great because it is good. And he also said that if America ceases to be good, then it will cease to be great. You know, I firmly believe that when our country was founded, the founders of our country honored God. And as a result of that, we did become a great nation. But you know, I can't help but ask the question today. Do we still please God in our land? Do we still please God as individuals and living in our land? And sometimes I fear the answer to that question is no. So the next question has to be, what can we do to find grace in the eyes of the Lord once again? What can we do to be pleasing to Him who has blessed us in so many great ways? Well, I want to suggest three answers for you tonight. First of all, I want to suggest a simple answer. Just simply acknowledge God. Look to Him once again as our Father in heaven. Look to His Son once again as our Savior. Bow our heads once again in prayer with the request in our heart to our God who can answer all things. Pray to our God with thanksgiving, with humble hearts, with thankful hearts that God has given us so much to enjoy in this life. To put away all of the filth and the foulness of this world and to live peaceful, quiet, and holy lives. You know, if the world is ever going to be won for Christ, it is not going to be done with bombs and missiles. It won't be done with any type of power, any type of military intervention. You know, it is said that the United States nuclear arsenal is large enough to destroy all life in this world 5 times over. And when you think about that, what an incredible amount of power is held within the hands of the leaders of our nation. But is that really how we win the world? No. If this world is ever won, it will be through prayer. It will be through our living this peaceful, quiet, godly, holy life before those around us who can see how wonderful this kind of life is and want to put it into their lives as well. And the only way that we can do that is to acknowledge God and to put our lives into His hands. Another thing, our righteousness must be like God's righteousness. You know, righteousness is a word that you very seldom hear today outside of the walls of a church building. You're not going to hear it in Washington, D.C., and you're probably not going to hear it in Atlanta, our state capital. Politicians don't talk about righteousness or morality or religion anymore, except maybe at election time. You won't hear it in the news media. In fact, the only time you will ever hear the word religion or morality come from the media's lips, it is an effort to ridicule it or to criticize it, to make fun of it in some way, to downplay the importance of religion and morality in our lives. They're not going to say anything positive about religion or morality. Schools don't teach righteousness anymore. It is against the law to teach God's righteousness in our schools. Some schools and some places are even forbidden to teach morality and manners. We have replaced righteousness with a thing that is called political correctness. Let me tell you something, my friends. There is a tremendous difference in the two. We as humans must understand these differences. And we must look to righteousness, not political correctness. True righteousness. True righteousness implies sovereignty. If there is ever going to be such a thing as righteousness, then someone who is sovereign must determine what it is. And the fact is, as human beings, we could never define and determine the true meaning of righteousness. We don't have the ability to do that. David tells us what our righteousness should be like in Psalm 119. He said, "May my tongue sing of your word, for all of your commandments are righteous. I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path." Then David has to hate basically every other path, because only God's path is filled with true righteousness. My friends, God's people are blessed individually and we are blessed corporately as a nation when we hold God's truth to be the righteousness of our lives. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pronounced a blessing on those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In fact, He even made a promise here. If we will seek Him first and His righteousness, everything else will just simply fall into place. Political correctness will tell you that there is no such thing as absolute truth. They don't want this standard. They don't want to acknowledge that a standard even exists. But righteousness implies that we have a standard of living. the reason that the Word of God is attacked so drastically in this world today is because the world does not want a single way. They're not looking for a single rule to follow. They're looking for exceptions to the rule. And this is why God's righteousness cannot be taught in our schools. This is why God's righteousness cannot be quoted in our courts or displayed on our government buildings any longer. Political correctness says you can have your truth, and I can have my truth, and then everybody can have what they want. It can be what you need it to be, what you want it to be, and it can change from situation to situation. That's not how truth works. God's truth never changes. It is we that must change to comply with the truth that God has given to us. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know what he meant when he said that? There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. It has to be God. And our nation must comply with his standard, his truth, his word. And all of these must be held in high esteem. And I believe it was at one time at the beginning. But I think we all know for a fact that it is no longer held in high esteem. And then finally, we need to understand something that Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. He basically tells us that sin is a reproach to a nation. Righteousness, he said, exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. You see, just as surely as righteousness exalts a nation, sin will destroy it. And it's a shame that so many people today want a lifestyle, they want a government, they want a religion that is buffet style. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to go to buffets. Because, you see, I can walk around and I can look at everything, and if I see something I don't want, I just walk on by. And if I see something I want, I can take it. And I can walk around, and if I see it again, I can take it a second time. That's how buffets work. You can have what you want, and you don't have to take what you don't want. So many people today look at God in this way. There are certain things about God, oh, we want. We want the blessings. We want the good things in life that he has to give to us. But don't give me his rules. Don't give me his commandments. Don't give me his demands. I want what I want. And the rest of it I want to leave alone. Church, we can't take the good side of God and reject his judgments and his rules. For you see, they go hand in hand. And another thing, don't be fooled. God is not going to judge you according to what you wanted and what you tried to take. God is going to judge you with the truth. And when it comes to what you want, he will not wink at it. He will not forget it. He will not take it lightly. He expects you to obey him and him alone. You see, I think America has taken for granted all of the blessings of God. And we just assume that he's going to continue to bless us, he's going to continue to protect us, he's going to continue to be with us in spite of our sin. But the fact of the matter is, he will still hold us accountable. Oh, we can ignore him here. We don't have to follow him while we're here in this life. We don't have to obey him. But when we stand before him in judgment, there will be no choice. We will stand there. And we will listen to what he says to us, and whether we like it or not, we will accept what he says because it's his judgment. He will hold us accountable. And because of that, my friends, we cannot continue in the way that we are going today. We can't continue to kill millions of innocent babies by abortion each year. We can't continue to lie and cheat in our business affairs. We can't continue to ignore and disregard the political integrity of our leadership or the lack of political integrity of our leadership. It'll have to come to an end sooner or later, one way or the other. You can go back and you can read your history books. The many nations that have fallen from within. The greatest of which was the Roman Empire. No one really defeated the Roman Empire. They defeated themselves because they became so corrupt, so inwardly corrupt, that they let their guard down and they were easily taken over. And I'm afraid, my friends, that we are going down that path because we are inwardly corrupting ourselves. No, we can't turn away from our moral purity, our decency, and assume that God is just going to judge us with favor. I'm sorry, He won't. But you know, there is good news to all of this. And we find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Here the writer says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." It's sad to note today, my friends, no, we are not as great today as we were 245 years ago. 245 years ago, we stood against tyranny. We stood against wickedness. And we stood by God. Today, we don't stand by God. But there is no doubt that the greatness of a nation, our nation, any nation, is going to be because of the relationship that they have with God. And the only way that we can have our nation in a good relationship with God is, first of all, we have to make ourselves have a good relationship with God. It starts with you and it starts with me. We have to be the kind of person we need to be so other people can see it and other people can see the love, the humility, and the kindness that comes from Christianity, and they will want to be a part of that too. So yes, we can make a difference. But we must become people of God and not people of political correctness. So today, I ask you, what is your relationship with God? Are you His child? You can become one tonight. Through faith, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus as the Son of God. You can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And you can be His child. And tonight, my friends, if you have done that, you have to ask yourself this question. Is your righteousness the same as God's righteousness? And if you have to answer that question no, then you need to look hard and severely at your life and have an understanding that you need to make changes so that your relationship with God is what it needs to be, and change your life so that your righteousness will be as God's righteousness. America, righteous? I'm afraid not. But we can put it on that path with our own lives this very day. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please do so now as we stand and sing.